You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that sometimes your people get stuck in patterns of behavior that are unhealthy. We do this because we don't understand. But you are a God who teaches, always. And by your teaching, you help us to grow. So help us welcome all of your people in your name, trusting that by your wisdom, you will make us grow. Amen. Well, occasionally in our bulletin, we have commemorations. And if you look at the inside back page of your bulletin, you'll see the upcoming commemorations. These would be saints and people of note. Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, martyr, died 156. His day is February 23rd. And this next person, Elizabeth Feda, a deaconess, died 1921, 99 years ago on February 25th. Elizabeth Feda was a deaconess born in Norway and trained there as a deaconess. Feda was asked to come and minister to the poor and the seamen in New York City. She established the deaconess house in Brooklyn and a hospital in Minneapolis. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about Sister Elizabeth. Now, the situation that was going on that caused her to be called to come to the United States was that people were getting stuck in a bad way of life in the United States. 100 years ago, there was a wave of immigration to the United States. And these immigrants were coming largely from Northern Europe, especially Norway. Now, in the Lutheran Church, there are usually quite a few people that have ancestors that go back to Norway. And of course, there's a lot of these folks that came to the Midwest, and many of which were very successful farming. But what we don't always hear about is that there was also a challenging part of this history, that many of the Norwegian sailors and immigrants that came arrived in New York City, and they got stuck. They got stuck there in lifestyles that were not healthy, that were bad. Specifically in Brooklyn, in the borough of Brooklyn, there was a street known for having saloons and dives, and it was becoming known that the Norwegian men were hanging out there and not leaving, not making it out to those farming opportunities. This was a problem. It was a problem that took the note of Norwegian pastors and leaders in New York City, and they knew they needed help to do something about it. One of the reasons why the men were getting stuck down there was because if you were a young man growing up in Norway, as you got older, there was a whole organized structure in place, right? This is a very organized, structured people. And that served well. But then when you took someone out of that culture and that environment and the church and all the things in place that helps a person grow up and navigate those times of transition, and you drop them into the middle of a booming American city 100 years ago, they were not equipped to deal with that kind of freedom. Yes, there was great opportunity, but there was also great temptation. So Norwegian pastors and leaders wrote back to Norway and asked for missionaries to come and to help. And that was how Sister Elizabeth Fedda got the call to come to the United States. But you know, this isn't the only time in history when a people have come into a new land and struggled with their newfound freedom. We can hear echoes of this even in our current situation today. But even looking back further in history, in the story of the Bible, there are times when people struggled with the same kind of freedom and being thrown into a new context where you're not equipped to survive. Specifically, our reading, our first reading, thank you, Mark, from Exodus. God's people, the Hebrew people, were living in slavery for a generation in Egypt. And it was a highly structured environment. You got up every day and you knew what you were going to do. You didn't have any freedom, but you had a structure in place. And when all of the people were led out of slavery into freedom, into the desert, there was a bit of chaos. The people didn't know how to live together. They hadn't established rules and norms and covenants to guide their behavior. And the reason why they struggled is because they didn't understand how they were called to live. Just like Norwegian immigrants 100 years ago didn't understand the new context that they were arriving in the United States. And even in our reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' disciples, Peter, James, and John, are also thrown into an uncomfortable situation where they don't understand what's happening. Jesus led them up a mountain. They have this intense experience where they see his face shining like the sun. His clothes become dazzling white. They see Moses and Elijah, who had been dead for hundreds of years, standing there next to Jesus, and they hear the voice of God. They are so overwhelmed that they don't know what to do. They don't understand. Peter kind of fumbles, hey, maybe we should build, you know, three tabernacles up here. And then when they hear God's voice, they cower on the ground in fear. Each and every one of us, I think, can relate to times in our lives when we're thrust into a new situation and we just don't know. We're not equipped to deal with it. But thanks be to God, God is gracious and loving. God doesn't abandon us in our hour of need. When we don't understand, God teaches us. Remember that Jesus' disciples called him rabbi, teacher. God teaches us so that we can understand. When Peter, James, and John were cowering in fear, God was teaching them. God spoke from the cloud. This is my son. Listen to him. Then Jesus came and put his arm around them. He had seemed so powerful, shining like the sun. Now he's comforting them as their friend once again. And he says, it's okay, get up. And he leads them back down the mountain, back into service and ministry. Our God teaches us so that we can grow and not stay stuck. And that's so true when you think about Peter. I mean, just before the reading of the Transfiguration, that was when Peter tried to reprimand Jesus and say, Jesus, you won't be crucified. And Jesus in turn said to him, Peter, get behind me. What? Satan. That was when he was reprimanded by Jesus so sternly. Now, the next day, or 6 days later, Peter is learning, growing, deepening his relationship, growing as a person. And then we read this morning a letter from Peter, where Peter says, I was there, I heard the voice. And his concluding words in the reading are so powerful to us. He says, first of all, you must understand this. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. When you get that instruction from God, that prophecy, it's so powerful, you can't help but have your life be changed. That's what Peter says. You grow when God teaches you, when God gives you a word. And when God's people had left Egypt and were at the base of Mount Sinai, God taught them. God gave the Ten Commandments as a covenant and a rule for living together that we still use today, that ancient sacred wisdom still so valuable for us. And because the people were taught by God, they grew and they weren't stuck, but they moved through the wilderness to the promised land. God teaches us and helps us to grow. So Elizabeth Fedde was born in 1850 in Norway. I bet there's some people in this room who were born around 1950. Well, Elizabeth was born 100 years before you. So think about the different decades of your life. What did you do in the 60s? Well, we won't go there. The 70s, the 80s. When Elizabeth was 32 at Christmas, 1882, 32 years old, being courted by a young suitor, she had just finished her first assignment in the northern reaches of Norway, way up there, practically in the Arctic, where 9 months is winter, 3 months is summer, and that's it. She was a nurse. She cared for those living in primitive conditions. She was back now to her home in the southern part of Norway, waiting for her next assignment. A Lutheran nurse, deaconess. And on Christmas Day, 1882, she's 32 years old, she gets a letter from her brother-in-law, who's living in New York. And the brother-in-law says, come out here to me and your sister, because we need you. People are desperate. Our own people from Norway, but from all over the world, they're coming here looking for a better life, and they're getting stuck. We need people of faith here. By April of 1883, she was on a boat to New York. And the Church of Norway wasn't happy because the call didn't come, you know, from bishop to bishop down to her. It was this letter. But history has, you know, given her credit where credit is due. We interpret now that even though she was a Norwegian Lutheran, she received a call from the emerging American Lutheran Church. So she went and she kept a journal, and the journal is online. You can look at it through St. Olaf College in Minnesota. And her journal is very interesting. It's the kind of journal you'd expect from a nurse. It's not going on in flowery detail. Arrived in New York, day one. Spent the afternoon with a man with a cough. Day two, with a family with a sick baby. Day three, etc., etc. She was boots on the ground working for those who were sick and in need of care and direction. In the few years she was in New York, she founded a deaconess house that would give short-term shelter for those who were living on the street, give nursing and care for people as they were cared back to health. Today, there is still a Lutheran health center in New York that she founded. She did such a good job that the people in Chicago said, all right, you did that, now come to Chicago. She went to Chicago. Same thing. Started a deaconess house, got other deaconesses to come, cared for people. There is still a Lutheran health center in Chicago. But there was one other city that said, no, now you need to come here. We will be the Lutheran homeland for the United States. The city was Minneapolis, Minnesota. She did the same thing there. And there's a hospital still running and functioning that she founded. For 13 years, Sister Elizabeth cared for the poorest of the poor and the sick, creating hospitals and deaconess houses. After 13 years, she went back to Norway, where she had kept in contact with the love of her life. All those years, they were married, and she lived the rest of her days in Norway. She's been compared to Florence Nightingale and has been remembered as one of the great nurses and health advocates in United States history. Sister Elizabeth Fedde. The moral of the story is that she offered an unconditional, grace-filled welcome to all people who needed it. And we, a people who have been nourished by God's grace are to do the same thing. Through our baptism, we are called and instructed by God's people, and throughout Epiphany, we've talked about the 8 different parts of baptism. We present ourselves to God. We profess our faith. We give thanks for baptism. We baptize. We pray for the Holy Spirit. We mark with the cross of Christ. We give gifts. And the last thing we do in a baptism in the liturgy is we welcome that person into the body of Christ. We end how we begin, by welcoming all those people who need to know God's grace and healing in their lives, knowing that no matter who you are and if you've ever felt stuck, God will teach and help you to grow, each of us. And so may God give you strength to welcome in the tradition of Sister Elizabeth. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.